It's the JT the Brick Show. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle. And he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open at the 35. Racing to the 20. 10. Touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, hour number two of the show. Sam Munson will join us coming up as we'll go around the NFL, and I will continue to go around the NFL. There's a lot of news out there. What happened with Deshaun Watson blowing out his Achilles was one of the most despicable things I've ever seen by a fan base in my career. As a fan, and I'm a diehard fan in sports, I've never seen fans. Michael Irvin getting injured in Philadelphia, that was one thing. I can't believe that. As we bring in Sam Munson, joins us every Monday. And Sam, let's begin with the treatment that Deshaun Watson got. We know the contract. We know his shenanigans and the mistakes he made in the past and the legal lawsuits there. But I've been doing this a long time, and I've never seen a home fan base cheer, clap, boo a player as he's getting carted off the field.
Yeah, I think, you know, things like that have happened before for players that have been struggling badly and they get hurt, and there's definitely an element of the fan base that kind of rejoices in that. Obviously, with Deshaun Watson, the whole thing gets turbocharged because of his history, and it isn't just a player that's playing badly at the most important position, but it's a guy they traded everything to go get. It's a guy they gave this unprecedented contract to, and it's a guy who has a very unsavory past in terms of 20-plus accusations and settlements of, you know, sexual assault and those kinds of things. So all of that feeds into, I think, that element of joy from a certain section of the fan base that was only too eager to let them know about it when he got hurt.
Yeah, I know you saw today and retweeted a while ago that Tua says he won't wear a guardian cap, and that's coming up here. And the league... I'm covering the league for my 27th year, and I know how the league has changed their position on concussions. For decades, they didn't care about it. I talk to players now in their 60s and 70s who are friends of mine, and it takes them 2 to 3 minutes to get into a conversation because of the CTE and the issues they have. And now we finally have something with this guardian cap and the helmets changing. And when I listened to Tua, I thought he was almost doubling down when he says you could get injured getting out of bed, twisting your ankle. What's he talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing sounded like a very backwards way of discussing the entire topic. Like, he sounded like you were talking to somebody from the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Like, we know better than that now. Like, yeah, there is risk associated with everything, but there's a hell of a lot greater risk associated with playing football than there is, you know, getting out of bed, driving to work, all these kinds of things. Like, and that's a risk. You know, if he wants to play the game, continue to play the game, continue to take that risk despite his concussion history, that's fine. That's his decision to make. And, you know, that's one I think that everyone should respect. And I don't think we should be forcing him into retirement if he's willing to take that risk and go with it. But to basically decide he's not going to wear the guardian cap, which, as he said, for quote-unquote personal reasons, which I assume is just, you know, he doesn't like the look of those things because they look kind of ridiculous. You know, this is a guy who has been knocked unconscious into a fencing response, you know, the kind of most significant outward symptom of being badly concussed. That's somebody that should be thinking about every possible edge to try and prevent any further concussions or try and minimize any further impact. And if it's a 10% reduction, if it's even debatable that there's a 10% reduction, he should be trying to do everything he can to sign up for those kinds of things because it is his future. And he's the only one, you know, that it's going to affect directly. Like, it doesn't affect the rest of us who are talking about it, what he's going to be like in 20 years' time. It affects him.
Sam Munson is our guest, the 33rd team. I know that you and Steve did a deep dive on Jared Goff under pressure on the podcast. Tell me what you saw as you really broke down the tape and looked at the numbers.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. You know, Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator, had some good answers to that defense as well. But there were a lot of plays where that Flores defense in Minnesota, it did get pressure. It did have free rushers in Jared Goff's face. And he was able to just stand in there tall in the pocket and deliver the ball where it needed to go every single time. It reminded me a lot of Jared Goff in college. You know, when he was at Cal, he did not play behind a good offensive line. That was a team that that was getting him beat up a lot, and he was consistently so impressive, just standing in the pocket and firing the ball deep downfield and making plays. And I think that's one of the big reasons he was drafted as high as he was. This was a great example of that. It looked like the same, where he was willing to stand back there, take a hit, not flinch in the face of pressure, and get the ball to his receivers and let them make plays.
I'll tell you something, Sam. It's rough out here with the Raiders, because if they didn't turn the ball over, if they don't turn it over, and turnovers are part of the game, their defense, third down conversion, is fantastic. They got good players in Max Crosby, and they can do things on defense to keep them in every single game. But the implosion of the turnovers at the quarterback position has been a disaster for a team that was very competitive down the stretch last season.
Yeah, it was a very winnable game for them. And the unfortunate part of, you know, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, they're two similar quarterbacks, and I think they're both similar in terms of very liable to create turnovers. You know, each one of them is a highly volatile type of passer, and they're both capable of going on a streak and catching fire and having a lot of good plays consecutively, but they're also both very liable to create turnovers and put the ball in harm's way in a way that maybe, you know, another stylistic type of quarterback wouldn't be. So I think, unfortunately, that's just the risk they're going to have to run when those are your two quarterbacks. You know, you are going to be running the risk that in any given game, those guys are going to put the ball in harm's way, and that could be the difference between winning and losing it.
Sam Munson, as we wrap it up, so normally you don't have a soundbite of Kyle Shanahan saying, "We got our ass kicked." And they did. And Kansas City hasn't been playing at an elite level, but they just keep winning. The injuries to the 49ers, get us up to speed with the sense of urgency now, because that Seattle win in Atlanta was big time. I didn't see that coming. That's a big time win. I think that sent a message to every one of the faithful of the 49ers that they're in real trouble now. It's not going to be a cakewalk to win the division.
No, it's not. And they might not even win the division. You know, they're not out of it, and they're still, obviously, games against Seattle to come are going to be very important for them. But they have the chance to get themselves back into that. I think they're not panicking because they know that they've got all these guys that are going to come back. Now, maybe Brandon Ayuk doesn't come back because that injury looked like a potential season ender for him. But they're getting a lot of these injured guys back later in the season. And I think the 49ers know that, you know, when they have most of those guys healthy, this is a team that can go toe-to-toe with anybody and win, you know, regardless of who they're going up against in the playoffs. So I don't think they're going to be desperate or this massive sense of urgency. We got to get back. We got to win the division. We got to get ourselves seeding. They know that if they make the postseason, they're capable of beating teams. Obviously, they'd love to do it winning the division, but it's not a disaster if they have to go via the wild card and on the road to do it. I think a big thing for them is just making sure they continue to evolve that offense. We know that there's a couple of defensive systems now that have started to show up with answers to the Shanahan offense. And that's the first time, really, that that's been the case for years of Kyle Shanahan running that system.
Finally, the Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, the way they got humiliated in the second half of that game. The Jets are good enough to be in a game, win it late. We saw the way they played against Buffalo, but it almost got to the point, and you know better than me, What their body language with under 5 minutes to go, and the fact that Najee Harris scored with no time, and they made Aaron Rodgers put his helmet back on and go on the field, I thought that was humiliating. I thought Tomlin knew exactly what he was doing. They wanted to step on the throat of the Jets in their ballpark, and they did that, and now the Jets are on the brink. They can't afford to lose. I mean, they almost feel like they got to run the table. They're not going to chase down Buffalo. They're playing for a wild card before Halloween.
Yeah, their margin for error has really shrunk to almost nothing. I don't think they are a million miles away. I know the score in that game got completely out of control by the end of it, but they were winning that game early. They were driving to score again, and then, you know, a crazy interception. And crazy, I just mean an amazing play by Beanie Bishop, the defensive back, really started to swing that game. Obviously, the interception later where it bounced off Garrett Wilson's shoulder pads as well. Those are two massive plays that just went against Aaron Rodgers and really completely changed the momentum in that game. I do think that Devontae Adams made a difference. I think it opened up Garrett Wilson's targets. I think it opened up Alan Lazard as well. I think it opened up the run game a little bit. Overall, you know, and the Jets really T.J. Watt wasn't a factor in the game. They took one of the best pass rushers in the game out of that game completely. He wasn't a factor. So I think this team is close to being able to put it together on offense. The problem is the defense. I mean, they were basically down an entire secondary by the end of that game. Sauce Gardner got hurt, came back into the game, but they were missing linebackers, safeties, corners. That may end up being a bigger problem for them, that as soon as they get the offense on track, the defense has just run out of bodies.
Sam, last one. You got to do a special podcast with Steve on the Giants at home. I mean, it's too good. I grew up going there. I was there for the Lawrence Taylor era. I saw some of the greatest games of my life there. Now, what they're putting those fans through, coming over the bridges, 2 hours to get out of the building, the absolute garbage that they put out at home, if it's their 100-year anniversary, they're bringing back Coughlin and Eli. They bring back LT. Saquon's coming in. They can't get a touchdown. I mean, this is their home stadium where they won some of the biggest games in modern NFL history. They can't compete at home.
Yeah, and losing Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, has just been an absolute body blow for them. You know, they could not get the Eagles blocked during that game, a ton of sacks. Daniel Jones, unfortunately, for all of his positives and negatives, one trait that he clearly has is he makes a bad offensive line look worse. You know, he's like a catalyst. He pours gas on that fire and ends up making it look even worse than it is. So even though they had Malik Nabers back and Tyrone Tracy's been really impressive the last couple of weeks, they just couldn't get the ball going because Daniel Jones was going to be under pressure too often and not make anything happen from those plays. So really, really bad, embarrassing beatdown for them, and obviously made even worse by the fact that Saquon Barkley was the guy to absolutely go off and just highlight that they chose to move on from him in this offseason.
Make sure you download the podcast a few times a week. Sam Munson joining us from the 33rd team. It's fantastic. Check the mic. Talk to you next Monday, Sam. Always thank you. Appreciate you.
Anytime. Take it easy.
You got it, Sam Munson. It's worth it. I'm telling you, I podcast everything from Fly on the Wall with Dana Carvey to Smartless to this podcast. It's really good. And, you know, a lot of times I'm out walking the dog on the mean streets of Summerlin. Oh, this weekend I walked the dog. It was like paradise. Wasn't 105. It was just gorgeous. Trees in front of the house, fantastic. Just amazing. Bobby, I'm in a good mood because I'm taking my son to the World Series. And that's a big moment for me. My son and I, he's a senior at ASU. We're going to fly in. We're going to meet each other separately in Los Angeles. And we're going to be there for the World Series game one. Now, as my best friend told me today, my best friend, best man at my wedding, he goes, big risk reward. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, you're cranky Yankee if they lose. He goes, you're going to spend all that money and lose? I go, we're not going to lose with the Yanks. We're going to go in there and win. He goes, oh, but if you don't, you're going to be cranky Yankee. I go, yeah, I will be, but I just want to sit out there and have a cold beverage with my son, who's now legal, and to sit back there and watch a ball game because I live in Vegas. And other than I live right at the ballpark in Summerlin, and I love that ballpark. Donnie Logan, Jim Gemma, you're listening. Thank you for that ballpark. But I don't recall the last time I sat with my sons at a Yankee game. And it's too far to get to New York with the coach interview every Wednesday and the game on Sunday. We play the Chiefs on Sunday, so I'll fly out there Friday and come back Saturday. And then we'll go from there. So I'm excited. That's my whole week. I'll do the show and I'll give you everything I got. But I'm focused on the World Series, man. My team's in the World Series. I'm pumped up. Raider Al is in the Inland Empire. What a name. It's like the Roman Colosseum. The Roman days. The Inland Empire. Hello, Raider Al.
What's up, JT? Hey, man. Wish you the best on the World Series, man. And, you know, you and your son are going to have a hell of a time, man. I was actually out there, man, at the game yesterday. And first off, you know, we're not a joke, man. Our organization, everything, the fans, you know, we've been through the ups, the downs, man. We're not a joke. You don't see us with brown paper bags in the stands. We don't go as far as that, man. We're too passionate. Walking around the stadium, it was blacked out, inside and out.
Oh, so you were there. You were there.
Yeah, I was there. I was there, man. And, you know, just walking around the stadium and the tailgating and just seeing how blacked out it was. And, yeah, there was Rams fans there, of course, but it was literally Raider Nation out there, man, and that feels good, man. You know, no matter what our team is, whether we're the way we are right now, that seeing that makes you feel good. Of course, there's no moral victories, But seeing that, you know, that was great. The thing I didn't get, man, is that when we were in the red zone on the 4-yard line and we're passing the ball, I'm like, man, just run it down their throat. The Rams have
See, I disagree with you. I can't do a radio show where they run it into the pile all the time, and then when they get in the red zone, say run it. I can't do that because we got Brock Bowers now, man. I got to get the ball to Brock.
Oh yeah. And I get it. But with that on the 4-yard line, I'm like, you just run it one time. I mean, it's literally like push the pile into the end zone. I don't know, man. But I get it, man. Yeah. It is what it is.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep checking in, Al. Be there because, you know, I'm gonna need all of you guys and gals. Appreciate the call, man. I got to do show year-round, man. I'm calling all my partners, all my clients, all the people, you know, my guy, all my people, Mike at La Casa. I call my friend Alex DeCastaverde, my personal injury attorney, my friend, my season ticket holder, the DeCastaverde Law Group, the brothers win, the brothers have your back. You think when Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde don't have a good day, they want to tank the season? No, they want to win every day. You can't have a billboard campaign. You can't be a partner on our show saying we don't want to win. It's the brothers win. The brothers have your back. JT the Brick has your back. I know you're frustrated. I know what you're dealing with. I know Raider fans want to tank and get a better draft pick. I've anchored every draft for 25 years. I know how tough it could be to draft a player. You don't know who you're going to get. We're going to get a quarterback. Ooh, I didn't want to go there. We're going to get a quarterback in the draft, okay? I can promise you we got Tom Brady, Tom Telesco. We're going to get a quarterback in the draft. I can promise you that. Will we have to trade up to get him? No, I got guys who want to lose every game because they think they're going to get a better pick. Right, great. Again, other than Arch Manning, I could care less who it is. It's going to be a roll of the dice. The team wanted Jaden Daniels. He wasn't available. And we even had Chris in West Oakland call in. We got to get a quarterback. Who? Who do you want to get? And I'm not doing that show, so don't call in on that. But, like, who do you want to get? You want to tank for who? Jamarcus Russell? Let me tell you a quick story on Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell was the greatest talented quarterback in maybe a decade to come out physicality-wise. He was the size of the Empire State Building. He could run. He threw it on his knees to a goalpost from 70 yards out. He was an unbelievable competitor at LSU. The Notre Dame game, go back and YouTube Jamarcus Russell, Notre Dame. Okay, he was a can't miss. If Al Davis did not take him number one, 10 teams would have traded up to number one to get him, and 10 other teams would have taken him number two. It wasn't like Jamarcus Russell was going to drop to 7. What, we had the 13th pick, right? We had 13, we got Brock. If we had 6 in the Jamarcus Russell year and we wanted Jamarcus Russell, he wouldn't have been there at 2. You know who else wouldn't have been there at 2? A guy by the name of Ryan Leaf, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play in college. He played with Peyton Manning. Half the country said Ryan Leaf won. Half the country said Peyton Manning. You believe people doubted Peyton Manning? They didn't doubt Manning. They thought that Ryan Leaf was unbelievable. So the point is, I like this Cam Ward kid out of Miami. I like him a lot. If you told me he's going to be the future quarterback of the Raiders, I'd get in line and pick him up at the airport. I don't know how he's going to play in the pros. I don't know if the Raiders will be available to get him. I don't know if they'll be one pick away from getting him. But you think I'm going to sit here every day until April hoping we lose so we might get a quarterback? No. We got plenty of money now. Devontae's gone. Gonzo. We got plenty of money to get any quarterback we want. So, if you want a rookie, it's going to take years to develop that rookie. I'm a season ticket holder. I don't want to wait years. If you want a veteran free agent, plenty around. I told you Russell Wilson and $1 million. I scream Baker Mayfield from this chair. I scream go get Baker Mayfield for nothing. Okay. There's quarterbacks available. You can get a quarterback. You can go get a quarterback from another team. People are all in my chat. Go get Ryan Tannehill. You think Ryan Tannehill's agent wants him to play here now? With this offensive line, you think Ryan Tannehill's agent? Now, if Tom calls him and says, we need Ryan Tannehill for a discounted price, I'm fine with that. He'll give us a chance to win. But I thought Gardner was going to give us a chance to win. You're going to blame me for that? I didn't choose the quarterback, but when Gardner got here and I interviewed him and we had him, I was like, oh, man, this guy's pretty cool. He might not start, but if he does, I think he can win some games for us. Jacob comes in the YouTube chat and says, Tyson Bagent. No problem with Tyson Bagent. If he walked in the room right now and Tyson Bagent wanted to throw it around, no problem with him. The quarterbacks now are not playing well. Aiden O'Connell's injured. He's got an injury. Unfortunate. The kid wants to play. Oh, I saw him in the meal room the other day. You know, just big, strong, eating clean, ready to play, gets out there to play, thumb injury. These guys put their bodies, their limbs on the line. When we come back, I'm going to play you some of the most disturbing sound I've ever heard, ever, on the injury to Deshaun Watson and the fact that fans booed him. Don't ever do that at a Raider game. Don't ever do it near me in my section with Fabian and the crew. Raider Reggie, don't ever cheer an injury, especially to your own team guy, to your own players. It happened. It was disgusting. And it will stay with Cleveland forever, unfortunately. Thanks to the bricklayers on YouTube. You're the best. Thank you very much. We'll be back. Got about a half an hour to go. 702-365-9200. Join me. Join me, will you?
Jake Bates with a 44-yard attempt, hash mark right side to give the Lions the lead. He's ready. There's the snap. There's the spot. Kick away. It is up, and it is good! Jake Bates sends it through. With 15 seconds to go, the Lions have taken the lead. It is Detroit 31 and the Vikings 29.
Lions Radio. You just heard Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, my proud partner. The best chicken fingers the world has ever seen. The buttery Texas toast. The crinkle cut fries. All the great locations. God, we're lucky to have that partnership. Raising Cane's, also proud partner of UNLV. And look at them roll as they continue to win. JT, back with you right here in studio with Bobby today. We have an open phone line. We should never have an open phone line. I don't care if we take zero calls. I just remind everybody, I'm here for 2 hours of bleeping day. Q's out at Circa today, out at the pool. That sounds like a good place to go to today. Oh, before I forget, I want to thank the Shriners. We were out there. We did the show on Friday from the golf tournament. We got lucky. We got there as the weather was great. The next day it was blowing like 50 miles an hour. And I guess they had to cancel our remote, not us, but the other show out there that morning. So when we were out there, I talked to the ambassadors, the patients that were there. They were fantastic. Met their parents. We did the show afterwards. I walked around a little bit, bumped into some friends, my buddy Dave Erie and Wags, Tom Wagner, a couple of friends, had a cerveza. And walked around the golf course. So what I do every year is I walk the golf course for about three or four holes out there at TPC Summerlin. That was a great time. And the week before, we were with Simon Keith Foundation. So there's a lot of cool charity stuff. I choose to tell people the charity work I do and how I volunteer. Other people say, no, don't say a word. And I understand that. The only thing I do is I tell people that so we can promote the charities. What's the use of having a microphone if you don't tell anybody you're working with the charity? Charities are there to raise money. Angela Blitnikoff with the Blitnikoff Foundation, Tracy's Place of Hope, a new ribbon-cutting ceremony. She works tirelessly to keep the legacy of Tracy Blitnikoff, who was tragically murdered, Freddie's daughter, alive, and they're raising a lot of money for that. Lon Kruger, Coaches versus Cancer. I get a chance to work with Mike Ditka, Gridiron Greats every year, coached us at a birthday. ALS, the ALS that I get a chance to do with Golden Entertainment. So whatever you do in this city, there's a lot more people that do more. Look what Chet Buchanan does in town when he raises all the money with the bicycles. There's a lot of good people in this town and our teammates here. Steph McKenzie, oh my God, the queen of media out here, all the charity work she does. So if you need any help with your charities, you need any help doing something that we can help you with, let me know and hit me up and we can find a way to help, hopefully, and get it done. So all the games that we talked about, the Lions won. And they beat Minnesota that was undefeated. We did the Minnesota game in the preseason. I didn't think Minnesota was that great. And they were able to beat them. The Packers ended up beating Houston at home. Josh Jacobs had a receiving touchdown. Good for Josh. They were able to win that game. And now we're seeing problems as we're in dead last in the AFC West. the Chargers play tonight. Be nice to see them lose. Denver's got four wins. I don't know how, but they do. They're finding a way to win. Give Denver credit, and Kansas City's undefeated. And we get Kansas City, and probably on Wednesday, I was talking to Bobby about this. We got to, on Wednesday, we really got to start going balls out on how to beat Kansas City. I know people are rolling their eyes. What's he saying? No, that's our job. That's our job, is to win football games. We got to put together the game plan on how to slow down Mahomes, pick him off, strip sack him, come on in and have a great Sunday at the game. I'm going to the World Series on Friday in L.A., and I'm going to the Chiefs-Raiders on Sunday. How blessed am I? I'm going to take advantage of that. Antonio Pierce, I didn't hear this. This was earlier today. He met the media over at Raiders headquarters. Let's play a few moments of that.
Disappointed?
Yeah, good job getting back. Hey, Pete, what stood out to you after you got to watch the film? I know there were several questions you just couldn't answer, not because you were evading them, but because you hadn't seen the film.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job in the running. I thought we were physical. I thought we were coming off the rock there. I thought the running backs ran hard. I thought the effort throughout the game on all three phases was good. And then, you know, the negatives, as we talked about, you know, pre-snap, penalties there, hurting ourselves on drives where, you know, we're either getting in field goal range or we're down in the red zone, close to the goal line, and then obviously turnovers.
Following up on that, when they were one of the worst defenses in the NFL against the run, you guys were having some success, some struggles in passing, and you guys threw 44 times and ran 29. I'm curious, is the identity shifting a little bit on the offense because of injury? What's happening on the offense, AP?
Well, the identity's not there. I mean, we want to be physical. We want to run the football. That's not anything that I've ever, you know, hit or not spoke of. I do think as the game goes on and we get it down, I think just in human nature, you toss the ball around a little bit more and, you know, maybe you lose the flow of the game. But when you look at it early on, when the game was close and really competitive, we were having our way even other times, even with the reverse with Trey Tucker, to get down there inside the red zone. So obviously it's something we need to look at. And I think when you look at teams that's having success right now, just being consistent and staying the course, regards to the outcome. I think a lot of teams, when you look at them and how they're able to sustain success, is that of being the same team throughout, regards to the score. And obviously it does change when you're down by 10 or more.
What's the situation with Aiden?
I don't have an update yet.
Well, penalties and turnovers is something that has been rinse and repeat the last 3 weeks, but it's been a focus that you wanted to make sure did not happen.
Right.
How surprised are you that on your watch this is happening consistently, I should say?
Yeah, the penalties, especially pre-snap, I always worry about everything that happens before and after the play. In between the play, that's football. You got to work on technique, get better in that sense. The turnovers, you know, that's it's being careful with the football. You know, that's either throwing interceptions. We've had 10 in the last 3 weeks. 7 interceptions and 3 fumbles, right? We talk about ball security. We do them in every drill to start practice. And then, obviously, at the quarterback play, you know, we got to make the better decisions.
Looked like a Luke move yesterday. I guess what went in that decision, and how did you think it worked out?
I thought it was better, and it was my decision.
You going to stay with it?
Yes.
Have you guys talked about bringing in another quarterback, you and Tom?
Well, once we know what's going on with Aiden, I'm sure we're going to have to look at all our options.
Who would have been the backup for Gardner yesterday if he got hurt?
That would have been McAllister. Not only is Jacoby Myers, but he was out.
Has he worked at all in practice, McAllister?
Yeah, practice squad. I mean, that's different when you give him the look team. Then I don't think we're going to be throwing the ball. I can tell you that much. If we went to a third-string quarterback, you already know what's going to happen there.
Because was he Lamar a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you like what you said?
Hey, he can run the rock. We know what he can do when he has the ball in his hand. I don't know if we're going to toss it with him. You know, but, again, that didn't happen, but that was our emergency quarterback.
And obviously you do have Carter on the roster. I guess what have you seen from him? How confident are you if he has to play at some point?
Yeah, again, I'm going to go back to what I said. Probably just have to look at all the options, what's out there, see what's going on with Aiden once we get the medical reports back.
All right, so that's a portion of Antonio Pierce. We didn't play the whole thing, but that's what you're hearing now. And the quarterback and what's going to happen, we know Aiden O'Connell's hurt. He's not going to play. We know that, okay? We read Adam Schefter. We're waiting for the Raiders. We always take the Raiders' PR and what they tell us. I don't know how long he's going to be out. People are asking me. I don't know. I don't know where Michael Mayer, if he's coming back or not. I don't know. I know that Max Crosby loves being a Raider. I know that to be a fact. So everybody is speculating on everything, and that's part of my job, and to try to field through that and get a vibe of what you're thinking and what you want to do going forward. It's too early for any Raider fan to check out of the content, the games, everything that's going on. But we're not going to cater to the misery index. I repeat, we're not going to cater and do the shows every day to the fans that want to be miserable, that want to lose, that want to tank. We're not doing the show for you. We're happy that you listen. We're thrilled that you listen and hang out with our partners and support what we do here. But we're not catering the show to the people who are miserable and want their teams, whatever team it is, to fail for some phantom draft pick. That doesn't happen on this show. So does that make my job a little bit more difficult? Hell yeah. You think my job would be different if we were sitting here 4-2? Be a completely different show. Completely different show. But I'm aware of that. We'll get through it together. We have in the past. Jay in L.A. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, JT?
What's happening? Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I got you. Yep.
The one thing that's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of like plaguing us, and it's just, you know, it's so obvious, it's the offense. I mean, Luke Getsy's offense is just, you know, I'm sorry, you're connected, you might talk to him, and you see him on the daily basis.
I don't see Luke Getsy at all. I watch the press conferences, I nod to him if I see him in the building, but we don't talk.
Yeah, and but the thing is what's predicated out there and what we watch, you know, as Raider fans, and it's some calls are just, you know, they're clueless. You're scratching your head. Why are they making these calls? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's all, you know, to the offensive coordinator. I mean, you got to go ahead and kind of like, if you're talking statistics, and I'm not a statistics guy, mm-hmm. or anything like that, but, yep. you know, right now we're like, you know, third in the National Football League in terms of struggling scoring points. I mean, you got Jacksonville, Tennessee, us, Tampa Bay, and the New York Jets. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And we just have not been able to go ahead and kind of like really find a pulse on, I mean, I thought everything was going to go ahead and kind of like, we had Antonio, we solidified a coach, we got a defense, you know, they went ahead and they threw a little pixie dust at us and told us, you know, we have a great defense. Our defense has not shown up all year long. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I love Max. I know the players are playing out, but it's the little things, it's the fundamentals. They don't do it. I mean, I see guys whiffing on tackles. It's just, you know, it's tough. It's tough to swallow. And I'm not, JT, I love you. Mm-hmm. I love the message you're giving me, you know, because, you know, I'm here with you, ride or die, till the end, okay? And, you know, that's how I've always been, and I'll always be. Okay, but, you know, to kind of like just lose to the Rams and then just to lose to some sub-teams, you know, especially like the Panthers and stuff like that, you know, it's a gut-wrenching, you know, hit.
Yeah.
Okay, it really hits you.
It is.
And one thing, you know, you got to go ahead and look at one of the things that we have not really kind of like, I mean, since you're talking, you know, in terms of, What is it? 2014. I was just looking at statistics, okay? We have not been able to go ahead and really, since 2014, really been in, what is it, one of the top offenses.
And we know that. We know that. So what do you want to do about it? I know 2014, 2017. I know last year. What do you want to do about it?
What I want to go ahead and do about it is just I want to go ahead and make sure that we have a good product out there right now.
Okay.
We don't have a good product.
I know, and I agree with you, and I appreciate the call. They're trying to fix the product with the players they have due to injuries. They're trying to fix the product. You just heard the head coach who says they're going to go back in and grind it out and try to run better practices. Preach, don't turn the ball over. So all week long heading into Kansas City, all Antonio Pierce is going to say in every meeting is don't turn it over, don't turn it over, don't turn it over, right? That's all he's going to say as the message, along with other things. And then when the game starts, if Gardner Minshew steps into a pass and throws it behind DJ Turner and it's picked off, you think that's the coach's fault? All he did all week was tell the media and the team, don't turn it over. What else can you do? You're not coaching turnovers, you're coaching against it. But the coaches take the blame. They're the individuals who get paid for wins and losses. Jobs are always on the line in the NFL. Look at Brian Daboll. He was a great coach up in Buffalo with Josh Allen. He's the offensive coordinator. He goes to the Giants. They get rid of Saquon Barkley, and he's got to work with Daniel Jones. How's that working out? You want to be a head coach? And you want to be a head coach, normally, if you're an interim head coach or you're a coordinator or a position coach and you get elevated like Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo of Bobby's Patriots, right? He gets elevated, never been a head coach. How's that working out? One of the worst teams out there. They got to play Drake May, who I think is a good player. What if the Raiders would have got Drake May? What would be going on with Drake May right now with this offensive line? Raider fans would be calling me, but we would have our franchise quarterback. Drake May was not available. He was another three first-round picks. So let's just say for conversation purposes, the Raiders got Drake May and traded up to number three. Couldn't get Jaden Daniels, but got Drake May. They gave up three first-round picks to get him, and we're watching Drake May run for his life because this offensive line can't pass protect. What are you calling me to tell me? What I would be telling you, no matter what you said, is, who cares, man? We got our franchise quarterback. We'll get a better offensive line. We'll get a better offensive line, and we'll get him help next year. That's what we're going to deal with next year. We're going to draft a quarterback, guaranteed. Guaranteed, as Barkley would say, we're going to get a quarterback. And you're going to call me if they don't protect him and he turns it over, and you're going to say what? Got to play better football. Got to do your job better. You got to execute. You got to be prepared. Mike in New Jersey on the Raiders mobile app. Hello, Mike.
Hey, JT, what's going on?
What do you say, buddy?
Not too much. Just a couple of things. Number one, I'm sure he's a great guy and a nice guy and everything, but Gardner Minshew's not the answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd rather see them get a shot. I'd rather see them try Bradley or see Tannehill or perhaps maybe hopefully get a trade for Fields. But and I don't know if it's too early to, but I did like Getsy from the box last yesterday was very smart. In fact, I liked how some of the offense went yesterday. I don't know if it's too early to look towards next year. You just mentioned franchise quarterback. Is Shador Sanders the real
answer? Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that. I don't want to do Shador Sanders radio if he's the real deal. I like him as a player. I have no idea if he's going to be a good pro or not. No idea. He's got great athletic ability, and he won't be there for us. If we want him, I promise you he won't be available, so I'm not going to waste your time or our audience's time in October.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we didn't trade three first-round picks to get Drake May or one of the other ones. I'm glad we kept our future. And a little side note, I mean, I really hope the Yankees will beat the Dodgers. I'm a Yankee fan. We're Jersey. We're pumped up and everything. You know, I just hope they do it. I mean, I don't want to put the cart before the horse or anything like that.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. As a diehard Yankee fan, and I'm going to game one with my son, I mean, I'm not going to guarantee anything. There were times this year where I was a basket case and fire Boone. Trade Stanton, and look at me now. My team's in the World Series. And I was a basket case this year watching this team. This team lost so many games this year, the Yankees. You might say, what are you talking about? They were the one seed. No. I watched the Yankees every game they played this year at some point. They were terrible in their losses. Slammed. Embarrassed. No runs in the Bronx. My nephews would go to the Bronx from New Paltz. That's a good 2.5-hour drive to go to a game. They'd get there. They'd score no runs. And they have to drive 2.5 hours home. And the Yankees are in the World Series. I mean, that's why you stay with your teams. I've always stayed with my teams. I'm just very frustrated. I'm more emotional. If I worked for the Yankees, I wouldn't be saying fire Boone, right? If I worked for the Yankees, my Twitter would be really cleaned up. But I don't work for the Yankees. I'm a fan. We'll wrap it up on the other side. I want to get to that Deshaun Watson sound. I have a lot to say on that issue. Please come back for that because it defines you as a fan. It defines you as a fan on how you would behave in this situation as a neighbor to the fans who are acting like idiots, or if you would get up and cheer an injury. Stick around. We'll wrap it up next. And then I'm over at Wynn Resort from 4 to 7 every Monday night. The residency at Wynn for SiriusXM. Excited to get down there tonight.
Steelers will rush four. Rodgers back to pass. Rodgers bobbled up in the air as Bishop will take it. He'll cut back to the left, looking for room. Crosses the 10, crosses the 15, crosses the 5, and gets down to the 1.
That was a Devontae tackle down at the 1 there. Aaron Rodgers, just a disaster performance, and the Jets are 2-5. Same record as the Raiders. JT, back with you, always reminding you about our partnership with Resorts World and following his sold-out runs at Resorts World Theater in the summer of 2024. The Mark Twain Prize recipient, Emmy and Grammy nominated comedian and actor Kevin Hart announces his return to the world-famous stage in early 2025. So he's going to be back there with additional performances of his hit tour. Kevin Hart, acting my age at Resorts World Las Vegas, Friday, February 28th, and Saturday, March 1st. Tickets are on sale to the public this Friday, October 25th, at 10 a.m. Pacific at AXS.com. You want to be a part of this show. It's a big-time comedy show in one of the best theaters in the world. So Resorts World, proud partner of our show. When you come in through the parking garage, you see right there, you come right out to the theater, real easy, right in front of you. And then right next to it is Doghouse Saloon, where we do Monday night football, and we do Thursday night football. So if you like to try something different from Monday and Thursday night football, go to Resorts World. I pop in, and I enjoy it there. I just love everything about Resorts World. Got friends stayed there last weekend, so it's always a great place to meet up. As we continue on, I was very upset about the Deshaun Watson injury. So let's play the play-by-play of the injury. This is Andrew Siciliano on the call, the new voice of the Browns.
Ball in the 21, second and five. Deshaun stumbles. Deshaun gets up. Ball comes out. Deshaun writhing in pain as well.
That was a non-contact. That looked like it looked almost like Achilles or a knee. Just gave out on him completely.
And Deshaun is down.
The Cleveland quarterback gave himself up and was down before the ball became loose. There was a timeout on the field for an injured player.
Deshaun is down to the 23-yard line. Helmet in the turf, and DTR is warming up.
All right, so what happened after that, the crowd started cheering the injury, and they were really vocal, and they were saying, you deserve it. And I'm going to just play a portion of Jameis Winston, who's a great young man. I've interviewed him before. Great guy, Jameis. He was deeply disturbed, as he's the third-string quarterback. He'll be the second now, about what he saw in Cleveland.
I was taught to love no matter the circumstances, especially for people who do right by you. I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years, and he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. And I know I come from the deep south, Birmingham, Alabama, Bessemer, Alabama. So I know the standard that hungry fans want. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down.
That's pretty heavy. There's more to that. And Myles Garrett went off on that. So here's how we want to end the show. How dare any human being cheer someone who's injured in any scenario? Can you imagine that? How would you have acted if you were at a game and you saw someone do that next to you? Would you say anything, or would you just sit there embarrassed? Do you know how many thousands of Cleveland fans did that? I think generally a good fan base. In general, Cleveland fans, dog pound and all that. So I love when fans say, well, that's not us. No, it is you. If you got thousands of people in your building, Allegiant Stadium or Cleveland or Detroit or Phoenix, and they do something like that, it's on you, your fan base. That is despicable. We know what Deshaun Watson did with the masseuses. We know how he's cleared his name and tried to, and civil lawsuits and everything out there. We know this. It's abhorrent. It's terrible. But you don't root for anybody to be injured. Just a sad day in Cleveland, and they'll never, ever live that down. Ever. That's going to be with them forever that they did that. Look at the fans in Texas who threw all the crap on the field against Georgia to get the refs to turn the play around, and they did. Throwing objects on the field? I mean, I've gone to sports since I've been 4 years old. Throwing objects on the field or cheering an injury? That happened over the weekend. Hey, congratulations to the team over at the Speedway for NASCAR. Joey Logano on the big weekend there. There's a lot going on in Vegas. Today was the aftermath of the loss. We're moving on to Kansas City. We got a massive event in Vegas this week. The World Champion Chiefs are coming to town, and we'll be ready, at least on the flagship, for that. Q is coming up next from the Circa Pool. He's got a big show. See you tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.